I think that's good. Anytime you want to start it.
You threw me off my game there. Unique New York. Here we are. What's it matter? No one cares.
Is that what it takes? All you have to say is unique New York and you can speak properly?
Red leather, yellow leather.
Red leather, yellow weather.
This is from did you say yellow weather? Is that what you said?
I don't know.
Piss and rain. That would be yellow weather. All right. Everyone just let's all shut the hell up. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I am one half of the show, Ian Boothby.
And I am three quarters of the show, David Dedrick.
All right, so we have a bit too much show for you today, so don't listen to the whole thing, because there's a bit too much.
There's too much of me in the show,
that's
what you're
right.
Saying.
Well, just mathematically, just not in any other way.
Don't listen to Dave.
Please, don't.
What we're saying.
Yeah, people have been asking, is there any way of, on my iPhone, editing out one of the hosts?
Yes.
And it's there is an app coming.
There's an app for that?
Yeah, this is a free podcast, but that app, each episode will cost $5 to edit out one of the hosts. Yeah. I won't say which host it is.
Sure. We know who the most popular host is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not me.
No, we have had a tribunal. They have voted. They've been very
cruel. We've
had
a star chamber.
Yeah.
We didn't know it was happening.
We had that Simon guy. Mm-hmm. We had that Gordon guy. And then we had some woman who does not speak English from Iron Chef. And all three of them voted.
Okay.
None of them knew the type of show they were on, though. And the winner was a flan.
I like that in my mind you had gone, because you said Simon.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking American Idol.
That's correct.
Then you went Gordon.
Right.
And I was thinking that's wrong.
Well, that's Master Chef.
Yeah. And then he said some lady from Iron Chef.
Yes.
So
does not speak English.
I don't want music.
Who's an actress who giggles a lot?
I'm going to give David a little taste of music.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to take it away.
Oh, fair enough.
Back to the food.
There we are. Now, hey everyone, before we get started, I'd like to throw some plugs out here because we always forget to do plugs.
Yes.
I'm appearing at some places here in Vancouver. If you have a chance, come to Vancouver. If you say, I can't make it to Vancouver, listen, we've had people come from Chicago to Vancouver.
That's true.
To say hi. We've had people come from Australia.
Yes.
And so, you know what? No excuses for you, Jack. If someone can come from Australia to here,
yeah.
So can you. All right?
Come from Australia to here.
Exactly.
We've proved it.
We have proved it.
Yeah.
By our guest last week,
yes.
Gavin Pitts, came from Australia to here.
That's
gave
true.
Us some Tim Tams and left.
Those were good, actually, those Tim Tams.
Very good. Did you try the Vegemite?
No, I didn't.
No one has, but we will at some
point. I'm scared of it.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like, if you drank, then you'd have an excuse. You'd go, like, eventually you'd have a glass of wine or two, and then you go, I'll put some of that on crackers. Let's see how that goes.
Well, if I was a bachelor, I'd have an excuse.
Would you?
Well, I just would run out of food one day, and I'd be like, this will be all right,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
It feels like the kind of thing that your dog will either really love or really hate.
I have no idea. I don't know what it is.
Or will just turn on you completely, and like you will lose all the dog's respect.
It's a lard extract. I did read the packaging.
Oh, it's a lard extract?
Is it a lard extract or a yeast extract?
Doesn't it sound like, well, it's
yeast.
Vegemite sounds vegetable-based, doesn't it?
It's a yeast. Well, lard is vegetable-based. No, that's the animal side, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's a yeast extract. Sorry, it's a yeast extract.
Have you
extract.
Been thinking lard was vegetable?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I was slip of the tongue.
All right. That your tongue would slip a bit if you had too much of that lard on it. Okay, here's
my my milkshake brings the boys to the lard.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, better than y'all's. November 19th, I'm doing the second anniversary show of Improv Against Humanity. If you know that game, Cards Against Humanity?
I don't. I heard it's like Apples to Apples, which I have
played. But it's for horrible people.
It's a frustratingly subjective game, I imagine, just like Apples to Apples.
And it's kind of almost a never-lose comedy show. Like, it's one of those where, like, the game itself does, like, 95% of the work. And it's a very relaxing show to do, but people love it. It's at the Rio. It always, like, sells out, so if you come down, get there early. The next show does not always sell out. So, guys, come down to this show.
Come down to this show.
And that's November 22nd. That's Ripe Club at the Little Mountain.
I'll be there.
Yeah, Dave will be there, probably dressed in some sort of snappy outfit.
I usually wear clothes when I go out.
Yeah, but you...
often.
Last time you wore a lovely dress.
I came in a gown, yes.
Came dressed as Jane Austen.
Wore a bonnet.
The idea behind this show is we have audience members dress up as their favorite author.
Mm-hmm.
We choose some of them randomly. And then we have performers do scenes in their style of those authors. And then if those scenes do well, the authors win valuable prizes.
Yes.
There actually are valuable prizes,
okay.
Usually book-related in some way.
Hmm.
But it's a fun show. Dave has been there, and he can verify what I'm saying. Okay, he won't, though. So that's awkward. Okay. November 26th, I'm doing the Critical Hit Show, live D&D show at the Rio. And the 29th, I'm doing something called Weird Al Karaoke. I'll tell you more about that in the future. That's going on at Little Mountain. Okay, plugs are done, unless there's something you want to plug.
I just want to say one thing.
Yep.
Apples to Apples. Ever played that game?
No,
it's so frustrating that I can't even explain how frustrating it is, because it's a game where you're
and
supposed
yet
to.
You will.
You have.
You say you can't explain, and yet here you go.
Well, I'm going to try.
Usually, your guy says I can't wear hats.
I'm not making promises.
And yet he's got three hats on his head.
Well, that's true, but I'm not making promises. Is what I'm saying.
All right.
I'm going to try and explain, because it's a game where you're given like a card that has like an idea or something on it. So say you get a card that says stealth. And you have, in your hand, you have a bunch of cards. You have like Johnny Carson, Encyclopedia Britannica, you know, palm trees, fog, ninjas. And you're like, ninjas? Oh, that's stealth.
Okay. I'll
put ninjas in. So you put ninjas in, and then it goes up, and the person goes through them all, and then he chooses, and he goes, I like this one, The Incredible Hulk. And then you're like, what the fuck is ninjas? Ninjas are stealth.
Yeah.
Where does The Incredible Hulk
come into? So it's just arbitrary.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I like The Incredible Hulk. Well, fuck you and your fucking incredible fucking Hulk.
Dave.
Yes.
I don't like you when you're angry.
So I have a show. I'm doing a show.
Okay.
Next. This is a problem, though. I should have plugged this last week.
Called Apples to Oranges.
But I am so dumb. Yes.
It's two unrelated things. Right. The more unrelated, the better. Mm-hmm.
That's right. If you get the card that says cheese and you give the card that says chalk.
Okay.
And then I choose the one that says chocolate. And you say, Dave, you fucking asshole. I can't believe why are we playing this game again?
Wow, he's actually turning green and ripping his clothes right now.
Yes, it's a popular game at the cabin when I go away to the lake.
Okay.
Very popular amongst some of the
if
people
it's just
there.
The grown-ups,
but
then
not me.
I would
no,
advise
it's not.
Cards Against Humanity.
It's,
you have
kids.
A bit more fun.
It's the kids.
All right, but Dave, what's your plug?
My plug is actually a former guest of the show, David M., is doing a show, an autumn show. I'm not too sure what it's called. Is he welcoming the autumn or is he dreading it? I don't
cursing
know.
The autumn?
Cursing the Autumn. But yeah, it's on November 22nd, basically the day this show drops, is what I'm saying. That's why I should have talked about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
It starts at 7 at Slickety Gyms on
right.
Main Street.
So that's November 22nd.
Yep.
So you've got
a
decision
Saturday.
To make.
Oh, sorry. Did I say November? I said November 15th. I'm sorry.
Very good.
Yeah, November 15th. November 22nd, that would be planning ahead.
Yes.
Yes, and I would have a decision to make, but this decision's been made for me. I'm
okay.
In the show.
No, November 15th, you're yeah. In the show. You're at it's Slickety Gyms, but it's actually Fat Thin Jack Jones or whatever they call the bar in the back.
Is that what it's called?
Skinny Fat Back
okay.
Jonestown
Massacre.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Okay. But drink anything else there. It's a refreshing bar full of good stuff.
Good. So, yeah. So I'll be there. I'm doing quite a bit in the show, apparently. I'm shaking an egg.
You're shaking an egg?
I'm doing a recitation.
Okay.
I'm reading from a book.
All right. Do you get the book in advance?
Yeah. I know what the book is.
All right.
And I think I'm doing some sort of speaking, singing thing that I'm not quite sure. And I'll be doing a lot of other stuff.
Is the book Watership Down?
The book is not Watership. It's actually Pride and Prejudice.
Because that makes me a little sad. So I'd rather, if you're reading Watership Down, I probably wouldn't go.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Are you sure it's
there
not?
There are some happy moments in Watership. I could read from the beginning of
it's
Watership.
It's not Charlotte's
Down.
Web, is it?
It's not Charlotte's Web.
Because again, that's a very sad book.
Not all of it, but yes. Okay.
Animal Farm, or are you reading from Animal Farm?
Once again, no.
Basically, farms are depressing places, is what I'm saying.
Any
no book that's got
books.
Animals in it
what about,
are a huge bummer.
What about Stuart Little? Can I read Stuart Little?
I'm not exactly sure how Stuart Little ends.
He gets run over by a car.
Is he an adopt? He does not. You lie. Is he?
He's a mouse that's been adopted.
Is he like a Fievel style mouse that he came to America and was looking for a better life and he got adopted by this couple?
I don't think they give much backstory because it's a fantasy. So I think the less you say about why they have a mouse.
That they're raising
better.
As a child.
Yes, it's the better.
All right, so he's probably a scientist, some kind of genetic experiment going wrong, and he's got to hide it from the government, so he raises it as his own because it's
you
hyper-intelligent
mouse. You're giving too much backstory to a story that's just for kids.
Right.
That when they read it, they never say, ever say, why is this? Why do they have a mouse? Like no child.
No one ever.
I don't think any children have ever thought that.
But let me ask you this: in the
because you're in the world of this book.
Okay, but in the book and the movie,
I don't. I'm not. We can't talk about the movie. The movie is not the book.
Okay, let's go to the book. Do they have a cat?
Gee, I have, it's been a while.
I'm going to bet they do. Because I think I've seen that in the trailer for the movie. I read it in elementary, which seems like a real dick move. If you're going to adopt a mouse and you've got a cat.
You've never seen the movie?
You're terrible people.
You've never seen the movie?
I've seen trailers.
Okay. That's not seeing the movie, by the way.
No, but I know that there's a cat from the trailers, unless they've, you know, faking me out. I believe Michael J. Fox plays the voice of Stuart Little.
He plays...
So a fox plays a mouse. Everything's crazy in the world.
He pulls a Peter Sellers. He plays the mouse and the cat. No, he doesn't. The movie's quite a bit different than the book, as I remember it.
Okay.
The book is more of a quiet sort of a thing. It's more of a...
Just a quiet mouse around the house
book? Yeah, just a mouse around the house sort of book.
And they never acknowledge why they adopted a mouse?
No, they do not.
Now, do any of the other neighbors have animals they've adopted
It's just like
children?
No one says, wait a second, how come that spider can write on the spider web?
Well, yeah, they do. That's the whole thing of Charlotte's Web is that's an impressive, amazing thing, which is why they survive.
No. The impressive, amazing thing is the pig, not the spider.
I think it's pretty impressive that there's a writing in the web, right?
No one says anything about it.
No one cares.
No one goes like, oh, the spider's amazing. No one says anything.
No. It's one of the first cases of the web having an impact in that kind of situation. Yeah.
And not only an impact, but having an unacknowledged effect on something. You know, that it's just sort of there. We don't pay attention to it. We've just accepted the fact that this web has words on it, and we don't question it.
No one questions it.
No one questions it. No one goes,
what do they think?
Why the hell is this?
Do they think it's like an act of God?
I don't know either.
What is the thing?
It's a book for children. And I think when E.B. Wright wrote these books, he wrote them with an idea that you would just have this massive gimme that would not be questioned. You know? I mean, it's kind of like Paddington. I mean, we do have a backstory for Paddington. He comes from Peru. He's found at Paddington Station, hence his name is Paddington.
Okay. Don't know about his parents.
And he has an aunt who lives in Peru. That's what we know about him.
Okay.
But, I mean, besides that
his
fact...
His parents died in a marmalade factory accident.
Do they? Because... Oh, man, I just whistled.
I know. I heard it. Like, it really split through my head.
That was really weird.
Yeah, that was painful, actually.
Sorry, everybody. I turned into the rabbit from Winnie the Pooh. Yeah. Which, once again, we just accept the fact that animals... Like, no one questions the fact that Paddington talks. Everyone else in the book talks reasonably normal. It's one of those really irritating books that when you read when you're a kid, and the writer writes, and he drops the H's for you, so that you know, so you're reading this airy, you know, is going om, and you're just like...
it's for the parents.
Why is this person...
When they're reading it
out loud. I guess it's reading out loud, and the parents could... posh parents could do lower class accents.
Have I mentioned what bugs me about the Sherman Bears? Have I talked about that?
The fact that they're the part that bugs me the most about them is
we're talking, by the way, about these bears that are
talk about it then
toilet paper commercial. Okay, here's the thing.
It's a toilet paper
like these
toilet
paper okay here's commercial. The thing these bears started bears. Off with they were in the woods and they had toilet paper and they were like, okay,
originally
the joke is, does a bear shit in the woods? So that's all fun, we're all we get,
if that's the joke.
Well,
is that the joke really? Because
they bears then? Why are they shitting in the woods?
I don't think you're supposed to think about that.
Okay. But anyway, as things have progressed, they've gained homes. Mm-hmm. Now, I think they've killed the people in these homes, taken them over.
Sure.
You know, and there's one where it's
Goldilocks style.
They got a creepy one where the little kid is like staring across the way at another house and a toilet. He's apparently looking at the toilet paper, but there's clearly an open window and this is where people take a dump. So the kid can, with his binoculars, check out someone go into the bathroom.
Of course, because everyone wants to have like an open window in their bathroom so people can look.
It's not a big deal if you're a bear, I guess. You're butt naked anyway.
We don't put frosted windows in our bathroom.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're a bear. Yeah. So, you know, who cares? Okay, but here's the one that bugs me right now.
Okay.
There's an ad now.
More than the other ones.
Oh, yeah, much more.
Okay.
Here's the one that is currently running.
Yeah.
Papa Bear, Mama Bear, and whatever, Nerdy Bear are going on.
Isn't it Baby Bear?
It's not quite a baby. He's like a teenager, maybe.
Oh, preteen. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, he's got glasses, you know.
Does he have a backpack?
Bit of an intellectual. He had luggage because they were on a trip. So
they're going on a trip. That's
so
nice.
Well, they're at the airport, and Dad's going through security, and he's getting scanned. He's getting the scan, and Mom goes, "This always happens to him." So Dad's always randomly selected. That's weird. So anyway, he's getting scanned, and the guy goes, "Well, you're clean." And then they open up his bags and see that there's a whole bunch of toilet paper, and he's like, "Oh, you're really clean." Okay. But here's what's going on.
Yeah.
First of all, they're in a bear world where there's planes. We get that.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, they got bear security, meaning there's bear airplane problems.
Yeah.
I mean, someone's brought like a bomb onto this plane or something in the past to the point where we need security. And you're like, well, there hasn't been a bear 9/11. But then you look at the security guy's jacket and he's got Bearland Security.
Okay.
And I'm like, That's like Homeland Security. That's terrible. So there was, in this reality, yeah. there's been a bear 9/11
you can't do that.
Where bears flew a plane yeah. into a building. It's terrible. And so they've had to up the security, and there's bear yeah. bear terrorism or bearerism going on in this world. No wonder they're scared shitless.
Very good.
Yeah. So it's just sad that they brought that horrible.
I just like the idea of the bear getting on the plane and saying, take this plane to Cub. That's more like a bearerist.
Because they used to say Cuba.
That's right. That's the bearerist I would like to see.
Doesn't that seem adorable now? And ironically, where do terrorists go now?
Where?
To Guantanamo and Cuba.
Okay.
There you go. That's you're already there.
I don't know if that's irony.
Well, it just seems weird that that was the place that was like, hey, I want to go there. Yeah. Now it's, oh, I don't want to go there.
I don't want to go.
That's no good.
Well, they do want to go there, just not that part of it.
Yeah.
Which is a weird place, isn't it, Guantanamo?
Yeah, it's
not only weird, just the fact that there's like this...
That it
foreign,
exists?
Yeah, this foreign, this invasive forest.
Every part of it is weird.
Invasive forest that just has this like
it's
little
It's like something from
base.
A damn sci-fi movie it's that weird. We've forgotten about that's still there, that's like, that still exists, right? Yeah, weird.
It
yeah.
is strange.
Yeah, that's where something's going to happen and the zombie apocalypse is going to begin. And you know what? At that point, we'll all deserve it because we let that stuff go.
Speaking of zombies.
Wow.
What?
Oh, I'm just surprised that you had something to segue from that was into that. Okay, go ahead.
Well, this reminded me of one last mention of Halloween.
Okay.
I think we've kind of milked this dry, but we had a dishwasher incident during Halloween.
Okay.
Our dishwasher stopped draining.
Oh, that's no
so
good.
Yeah, it was weird though because I ran it a few times and it never overflowed, but it just never went away, and we just ended up with this sort of weird milky, stinky, watery stuff at the bottom of the dishwasher. It's just a mix of food and everything else is kind of sitting there
Ugh.
In the stagnant pond.
Yeah.
And so it needed to get fixed. So
because you don't care for that.
No, I don't. I like things working.
Okay.
Call me crazy.
Yeah, you didn't want to get mosquitoes.
So I had to. I actually used the dog's dish, their drinking bowl.
Well, but you don't have to. I mean, it doesn't know.
I bailed.
It doesn't listen to the podcast.
Don't care. I bailed the dishwasher out as much as I could. And then I used a glass to try and get. So I got as much as I could out. And then I took apart the inside of the dishwasher.
Okay.
Where the just to get the filters out. Because you have to pull apart the bottom part of it. And there's like a little unlocking part. And then there's a big screen that looks like a symbol that comes out from the bottom of the dishwasher. So I pulled that out. Wash that off. You know what I was finding everywhere as I was doing this?
Gold.
Pumpkin seeds. So then there's another.
Okay.
So then there's another little piece. It's weird how the dishwasher works. You have to kind of picture this weird thing. There's a.
Everyone picture this.
Now picture this. There's a spinning water wheel like you'd see in a mill.
Understood.
Then there's a trough that runs off of it and has a little plastic ball in it that plugs a hole and that the ball rolls up and plugs this hole.
Nice.
So the way this works is when you have the dishwasher on, that's
yeah.
right. When you have the dishwasher on,
yep.
this impeller, this water wheel, turns and it pushes the water and forces it up a spout. And as it forces it, it pushes the ball and blocks the drainage hole.
Gotcha.
And then it goes up the spout and then out along the propeller piece.
Down
that
came
spins.
The rain, it washes the spider out.
Exactly.
Up if comes have, the sun, dries out all
If you're
all the
washing
rain.
Spiders in your dishwasher, that will happen. And so then...
If you do that, put them on their backs with the legs up. Otherwise, yeah, the legs are not going to get
they're
clean.
They're not get clean properly at all. You're right. And they don't drain properly either. You always end up with the water pooled in them.
Yeah.
So then...
By the way, if they then write your name, it's no big deal.
It's no big deal.
It's a big deal about don't. You, not a big deal about the spider being
yeah.
able to do it.
Well... You know, I was getting a lot of help from my mouse son while I was doing this because there was some small components, so he was able to go in there
you've
and
never
work
told
on
me why you have a mouse son. Is
let's,
it important?
Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
Because you've never asked me about it in all these years. I mean, he's 25.
Right.
And you've never asked me about him.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
okay.
why start now? Let's not break a streak. So I had to take apart this part. So I took apart this, more pumpkin seeds. And yet it still wasn't draining.
You were dangerously close to growing a pumpkin patch out of your dishwasher if you left it alone.
So I had taken all that apart. So then I just, you know, I washed it all and put it aside. So then I had to take the dishwasher and take it out, pull it away from the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Then I flipped it forward and then all the water that was in it drained onto the floor. So I had towels down though. So it caught all this milky, horrible water. And then from underneath, I had to take apart the motor. I had to take the motor out of it. More pumpkin seeds. In the motor. I took out the drain pump. More pumpkin seeds
okay.
in the drain pump.
Let me just ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
What are you putting in the dishwasher that's like full of pumpkin
seeds? Oh, it wasn't me.
No, but what? Like, yeah. Did someone just eat a bunch of pumpkin seeds in a bowl, then went, I don't want to eat these?
This was Halloween.
Threw the whole thing.
We had gutted some pumpkin.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I just don't know how then the innards of the pumpkin, you don't then go, screw it, into the dishwasher with these innards of the pumpkin.
Is that, you don't do that?
No one does that.
No one does that, hey?
No.
No, I guess someone does, because the dishwasher was full of pumpkin seeds.
It makes no sense.
So then.
That makes no sense at all.
So I did all that.
I believe the mouse child more than I believe this pumpkin seed situation. It has more credibility.
So I put everything back.
Yeah.
Because I cleaned it all out, put it back again.
Right. Roasted the pumpkin seeds for your daughters.
I ran it.
Yeah.
Still full of water.
Oh, boo.
So then I did what I should have done in the first place, which is I looked at the drain hose where it attaches under the sink to the main pipes that go run from the sinks to the drain pipes.
Yes.
And so I took it off from there, and it was just full of pumpkin seeds, all crisscrossed together.
Have you ever vacuumed up
Christmas tree needles from a tree?
Yeah.
And sometimes in the vacuum, they'll kind of suddenly, one will catch in the bumps of the...
Yep.
Another one will come, and then pretty soon...
That's their defense mechanism, they survive in the wild.
You got this big clump. That's what happened in here. The pumpkin seeds just jammed together and created this...
The hell?
And it was just this big traffic jam, and so I had to use a... I had to take a bent coat hanger and then put upside.
Now wait a second. You didn't just have one pumpkin's worth of seeds, though. You had
How many
pumpkins? Was it 10?
We had about 20 pumpkins.
20 pumpkins worth of seeds.
Yeah, but okay. It wasn't all those seeds. Like,
no, I understand that. This
was a careless act.
Have you done any research into? I mean, you probably went, who put all that pumpkin seeds?
I did do some research.
Probably, yeah. I did some research.
We no longer have a mouse son.
Well, that's fine.
In the end, I just thought, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I'm having to put
out a humane trap.
I'm having to make all these little clothes.
Let them go in the woods.
Oh, I use warfarin. Is that cruel?
I don't know what that is.
Took about 7 days.
Oh.
It's a blood thinner.
What?
He wasted away slowly.
Yeah.
And then I just,
Oh, I should have just picked him up by his tail and thrown him away.
We had a nice burial.
Uh-huh.
And flushed a toilet. It was nice.
Okay.
It plugged the toilet, though.
Well, so many pumpkin seeds in there. That's the problem. Why again would you?
I didn't do it.
But I know what a dishwasher looks like. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm trying to think of like how these pumpkin seeds got in there. Like, does no one rinse their plates before they put them in?
Well, no one was eating. We were, I think, a bowl of pumpkin guts.
Oh, I thought you
was
said,
not...
I think Ebola had something to do
Ebola,
with it.
Yes. Ebola had something to do with it. Ebola of pumpkin guts.
Yeah.
Was inadequately cleaned.
Okay.
Put into the dishwasher.
With full pumpkin seeds.
With all the seeds in it, which all got washed down into the system and created great environmental damage. It was a lot of fun, I gotta say. I know more than I wanted to know about how my dishwasher works now.
Right. I still think you should have taken those seeds, roasted them for your daughters, and said, oh, hey, darling daughters, here's a after Halloween treat. And they go, oh, thank you, Papa. And then while they're eating them, go, those are the ones from the dishwasher. Clean up your mess.
I know why there wasn't that much water in there, actually, just thinking about it. Because there's actually a little stopper. There's a little float.
Okay.
That when it rises, it'll stop
knock it off.
That's right. It'll stop the water from coming in. So that's what happens.
That's how a toilet works, too.
There's
a floater in there.
That's right.
Otherwise...
There's two floaters in there sometimes.
Oh, I get it. Now,
bathroom humor,
I would like to ask our listeners.
Yes.
If you're from England, maybe you can solve a mystery for me.
Sure. Let's ask them.
All right. Your story of the dishwasher reminded me of our washing machine mystery. I stayed in a flat.
The washer dryer?
No, just a washing machine.
Okay.
Wait, was it a dryer? No, it's just a washing machine.
Because they have that there. It's weird. They have washer dryers.
It possibly could have been a dryer
combination
as well.
Of...
It never got to that point. Because
okay.
Here, let me tell you. Okay. So we go to our flat. And we put some clothes into the washing machine.
Okay.
And we can't understand the instructions, really.
Sure.
But we start it up, and it does the washing. It's doing the chaka, chaka,
yeah.
chaka, chaka. The soap's in there. It's going chaka, chaka.
Yeah.
Back and forth, back and forth. Occasionally, it would spin quickly and then go back to chaka, 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 chaka. Does this for 6 hours. And does not move on to whatever the next stage is. Just does not move on.
Wow.
And I've never, like, I've used many washing machines in my life. But none of us,
that's weird.
There was like 6 of us in the flat. None of us could figure that out. And through all of our time, we eventually just would use it for the shaka, 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 shaka. Then take them out, rinse them in the shower, hang them up.
Couldn't you manually advance it to the next?
There was no manual event. It was like one setting, basically. Or you could like make it go all the way around. It would just not.
Yeah.
It was like one of these where like, okay, here's what it was. It was one of those where like you turn it and then it goes all the way around like a clock.
I know what it was. You had it on the anti-environment setting. So it was like a
non-eco. But I don't even know why it would have that a setting where you could do this for 6 hours. Sure. There's no damn reason. Yeah. Like, speaking of, like, you know, things where, oh, this is a stopgap measure where if this rises up, this shuts off, because clearly the people knew, you know, an accident might happen or grandma might die.
No,
and, you know, we've got to fix this. But this made no sense whatsoever. And so we had soapy laundry for a week.
It's a fetish thing. It comes from public school.
Okay. Explain that.
It's a British thing. It's, can't really explain it. It's like, it's like having a mouse for a child.
Right. They got that school, and one kid's a mouse, one kid's a bear, one kid's a spider.
A bear with a really clean ass.
That's right. And no one, you know what? Frankly, if you're a bear pooping in the woods, paper, toilet paper is not going to help you.
Yeah.
You need to get to a stream right quick, pal, because you got fur, and that paper ain't going to do nothing.
That's right.
You're just pushing stuff around. You're not helping anything. Yeah, you got nothing. Also, put on some pants.
Just plowing the field.
Yeah, that's you're right. Plowing the field. Oh, boy.
That's the weirdest thing to me, but that's more than weird about the Homeland Security and all that stuff like that. The weird thing about that commercial is
Bearland Security, Dave.
Sorry, Bearland Security. The craziest thing to that commercial
probably also Guantanamo Bear is where they send the terrorists.
I would not be comfortable anywhere where people talked about wiping their bum as much as they do in that place. Because not only do they have Bearland Security, they're also really fascinated by the fact that they all wipe their asses. Like, we don't talk about it. When you buy toilet paper at the store, you don't put it on there and then say to the guy, yeah, I really have to wipe my bum. Like, you know, you just, it's there and you kind of pretend it isn't there. Like, no one draws attention to their toilet paper.
Well, admittedly, you're there and you're covered in water and pumpkin seeds and no one really wants to make eye contact with you.
With my son.
Because your filthy, milky liquid you're covered in pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, that's right. It was filthy milk. It looked like something from, I forget it.
Probably for the best. Anyway, you've got that lovely Halloween memory.
I do.
Now, do you still have your pumpkins out?
No, they're all in the compost.
Okay. Well, again, I'm advising
with the shovel.
Advising my neighbors, please keep yours out.
Oh, they have theirs out still?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of them do. And I like that because it keeps the rent down. So keep that rent down. Keep those pumpkins out. It's a simple thing to do.
Wow.
It doesn't hurt you, and it really helps everyone around.
Well, we had Remembrance Day this week.
Yeah.
Which fell on a Tuesday. So I took Monday off from work so I could stretch out my weekend to 4 days. It was nice. So on Monday, I did the great pumpkin removal. So, because there was a lot of pumpkins. So I took them into the back, put them into the compost, and then using a shovel, I chopped them up so I could put more in there and just kept chopping them.
Now, was this
them.
After the pumpkin seed dishwasher debacle?
That's right. There's a little bit of anger in this job. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's nice. Getting the revenge. I like it. Just play some harsh metal music and just start smashing those pumpkins.
Did you go to Remembrance Day? Did you go to the service?
I didn't go to the service, though. Okay. We did go to a memorial later that day where we laid the poppies down
on a
wreath in Stanley Park. Yeah.
Is there a cenotaph at Stanley Park?
There is for the Japanese soldiers that fought in World War I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, we have a cenotaph in Aldergrove, where I live. And so we go every year to the service. This year was interesting because of the amount of RCMP that were there, which I've never seen that many RCMP at it before. And there was a guy stationed on the roof of the Legion Hall with a rifle.
Right. Why was that?
In case of terrorist attacks, like? It happened in Ottawa? I guess that's what everyone's worried about.
Right. And so if that did happen, he would sniper the guy?
Yeah.
That's the idea behind it?
And hit a small child.
Yeah, that seems... Yeah, I don't...
That was standing nearby. No one acknowledged it, though, so it was fine.
Okay.
The casualty no one notices.
It's always funny when we go to that well 3 times after it's been proven dry. The bucket is just hitting dirt. We're just like, no, go get something
Dave,
out of this.
Stop it.
Yeah, no, I saw a picture of that, the guy on the roof, which, I'm not quite sure what that was about.
Yeah, he had a marksman's rifle, and he was ready to, if case someone came and was crazy. I mean, the thing is that the guy in
That's
Ottawa...
a lot of RCMP that are around, though, anyway, if the crazy guy shows up.
Yeah, they're in their surge, but now there's a new law that I guess a rule or whatever that allows them to be armed while in their red serge uniforms.
Okay.
So they can carry weapons. Before, they didn't carry weapons when they're in their dress uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad. Because the reality is what happened in Ottawa, tragic as it was the work of one person.
Right.
A lunatic.
Yep.
Acting out of lunacy. Not acting out of religious fervor or hatred of Canada or some sort of Islamic agenda or anything like that. He was just a nut
mm-hmm.
who was off his meds and did this terrible thing.
Do you feel like, I think in general, that's how Canadians feel. I don't think it became an anti-Islamic thing.
No. I don't think at all. I think some people tried to turn it that way.
And you were worried. You were like, oh, are we going down this road?
Yeah.
Nope.
But you saw
all.
Lots of like things where people spray painted mosques with go home and all ridiculous things like that.
And then what happened immediately after that?
People came and cleaned it off.
And put up a sign saying you are home.
Yeah.
Which chokes me the hell up. I love that. That was a great story. It was just like, nope, we don't do this.
And it happened in more than one community as well.
This is not the case at all.
Yeah.
And people immediately, you know, kind of swarmed the area and was like, nope, that's not us.
Yeah, you're welcome here.
And so everyone who did that, good on you.
Yeah, really great. And people who did the opposite, it's terrible.
They're sad.
Think about it.
Got something inside them that's wrong.
Yeah,
and hopefully that will be made right. When you see again, there's something... You want to lash out, but that's not in it.
I think that's part of it. And I think it's mostly young people, because it's hard to picture 50-year-olds with spray cans doing that.
Also, listen,
they have their own.
Well, we don't know. It's like, I don't know if you watch the news every night.
But, no, I don't.
Okay. But like, here's the thing. If you're of a certain age, you probably watch the news every night. It's not good for you. Yeah. Absolutely. It's very scary. And so when something really scary happens, you think, this is it. This is what I've been warned about every night for forever.
Yeah.
And so you feel like this is the time. I mean, some members of my family were like that. You know, recently there was a thing where, and I think I've told you this before, so I'll just say it fast, where they were like, yeah, the mosque down the street, ISIS was recruiting. They had a big sign out front of ISIS.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, I think you're, what? And it was like, do you mean CSIS? And it was like, yeah, it was a CSIS thing. And it was like, it was CSIS, and it was confusing.
Was recruiting
That's
from
right.
the, yeah.
And then it was like, it was all crazy bananas. But they felt like, this is where it's going, because this is what you're set up to believe, that it begins now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a certain mindset,
well, I mean,
you go, this is the start of that film.
You can understand it. I mean, there's ISIS. Canada decided to, join the United States in bombarding ISIS.
Yeah.
And then this happens.
We are officially at war now. Is that the case?
I don't know.
Officially. No, we don't know. Isn't that crackers?
Well.
Like, you and I, we might be in a country that's at war. actually at war, and we don't know.
Well, I mean, we don't know. I mean.
Isn't that weird?
When Phyllis was younger, her friend and her mom lived on the base near where we live. There's a military base in Aldergrove. Strangely enough, it's a naval base. We're surrounded entirely by land, and yet it's a. But anyway, because it's a radio tower,
yeah.
And Aldergrove is a high point in the Lower Mainland. So, but we were. I happened to be there one time when there were some friends there,
yeah.
And one of them was going to Afghanistan, and it was really somber. I mean, it was you know, there were some laughs and stuff like that, but there's also this somberness to it. Because he was going to fight. You know, he was going to a place, not necessarily he was going to fight, but he was going to a place where fighting was going on and where he was at risk. And he might not come back, because lots of Canadians have not come back.
Right.
And it was a really interesting feeling, because we are so separated from that. You know, like, I don't experience that in my life at all. You know, like, I don't know anyone in the military. I've never served. You know, it's just weird. Like, we're just so remote from that in a way. So when you are in that situation, you know, it's very real and different feeling. And it's not something I'd ever experienced. So, yeah. No, you're right. It is weird. We're at war. But Canada's weird that way. We're a really strangely passive-aggressive country in a way we do things. You know, like, we have no-go areas. And even if we're doing that, we still don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? But another example of that would be abortion. Like, Canada, we refuse to discuss it. Good or bad.
Yep.
We just don't want, no politician wants to open a can of worms.
Because there's no win on it.
Because there's no win.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so,
well, it's the old Simpsons gag.
It's the same.
Abortions for all, boo. Yeah. Abortions for none, boo. tiny flags for everyone, hooray.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's also the same with like the First Nations in Canada. You know, there's lots of problems in the whole Indian affairs, how it is all run and worked and how money is distributed and everything else. It's just a disaster.
Right.
Yet no one wants to deal with it because it's such a hot potato.
Because you're an old white man discussing
it.
And it's like, wait a second, didn't you start this problem?
Yeah.
Yes, and now I'm going to solve it. Well, that doesn't seem right,
but
does it?
But it doesn't seem wrong either, because you started it, you can try and fix what you started.
You can try, and that's what you do, but it's tough being public about it. There's no way to go out there publicly without someone going, why are we listening to you? And you go, that's a fair point. I guess I'm an elected person. So are the other people that screwed us over.
But the way you're talking is you're implying that the system is good. Like even First Nations people would say the system is bad.
I'm not saying the system is good at all. I'm saying the person.
So everyone hates it, but no one wants to fix it because to fix it requires
opening a big can of worms. Everyone wants to fix it, but everyone's got different ideas of how to fix it.
Yeah.
And the problem has been in the past people trying to fix things and fixing things in a way that really hurt people. You know, but everyone had the best of intentions. Yeah. Unfortunately, they were somewhat racist intentions as well because that was the time you were.
Yeah.
Not making an excuse for that, but you know. Fixers have been fixing to the point where there was a lot.
You can understand. I mean, I can understand some of their thinking.
Of course, you can understand thinking.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, it doesn't justify. So it's like, who gets to do the talk? Who gets to be the person who stands out front and goes like, "This, listen, I understand." It's the same thing, you know, as you're saying with abortion. It's tough for a guy to go up there and go like, "All right, ladies, let me tell you what it's like.
It's the same for a woman, though. A woman, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No woman is going to do it either.
Really? You don't
think
so?
There's lots of female MPs and no one is opening that discussion.
Well, it is a no win, but it's much better for a woman to be talking about women's rights than it is for an older white guy to be talking about that kind of thing.
But don't you think it's weird in Canada there's no law governing abortion? Like no law at all. It's just weird. It's just up to everyone to use their best judgment.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, we're trusting doctors to use their best judgment almost all the time. You know, like every...
Has that run into problems?
Yeah, every choice they make is usually based on their Hippocratic Oath and their ethics and things like that. Mm-hmm. So,
and where we are as a society, you know, currently.
Sure.
And sometimes, socially.
Yeah, and sometimes there are problems, not with that necessarily, but just, you know, but mostly not. So it's something that we can, you know, feel that it self-governs and that it's working all right. But it just feels weird.
Yeah.
Because everywhere else in the world,
Because they need it. But if we don't need that, and it seems to be working, then why do you want to like go into the middle of that all right, let's set down some rules.
Let's get this dust up in the air here.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot like drugs as well, you know, something like pot. You know, there are laws, and then there are the reality of how those laws are treated and this, that, and the other. And you can go, let's really nail this down. Well, let's not really nail this down because we can't. Because politicians can't be pro this and then get elected, you know. And they can't be anti that and get elected. So they don't want to. There's no win. And politicians will never go for a no win.
So
all we get right now, we got an election right now in Vancouver, and all the ads are just negative ads. There's no one running for anything. No one's going, I'm going to do something. Yeah. I mean, you got a mayor who's saying, I'm going to make this SkyTrain run from here to here. But he's saying things he can't do. There's no way he can do those things. So it's all just make him believe. So all the ads are, you know, the opponent in black and white with a, he said ba ba da ba, but he wants to kick your mom in the teeth. It's like, well, then fuck, who do I want to vote for? Why am I going out there? Everyone's a shit.
Yeah.
Ugh. You know, because no one can talk about anything because anything that they bring up makes them vulnerable because, you know, you can pick apart anything. So no one can be pro anything anymore. So everything has to just be negative.
Well, Vancouver, people who live in Vancouver may not be aware of this, but actually the elections are happening everywhere in the Lower Mainland right now. In fact, everywhere in British Columbia, there are municipal elections happening, not just here in Vancouver. That's where most of the attention is.
We are the center of the universe.
Yes, though. Of course. The center of the universe for
sorry, let me get Vancouver. My monocle out and put that in. Anyway, David, what's happening in your neck of the woods? Do horses get a vote?
You sound like one.
More oats, please.
So what's interesting is, you know, obviously I can't vote because I'm an illegal alien.
You're a criminal.
Living in, yeah. And so as a prisoner, speaking as a prisoner.
And a sociopath. And I feel nothing I think about your pain.
I think you've meant social worker, right?
Yeah.
Speaking as a sociopath, no, I just can't vote. But Lisa has been really researching this year's election.
Well, more
than she has before.
No, I understand that. But as a teacher who's just been through a strike and gotten screwed over by the government, I could see how you'd be more interested in your government.
Well, I think you should spread the blame a little bit. A teacher who just got screwed over by the government and her union.
Fair enough.
You're interested in what everyone's saying. And of course, you know, Lisa and I, we live in a rural area and we live in a rural area because we like the rural area we live in.
Yeah. You like pumpkin
and
seeds.
So
you got pumpkin seeds in your dishwasher, on your couch. all over the carpet. All over the place. You just love pumpkin seeds. Our and little... that's the only place you can get bulk pumpkin seeds.
Exactly. And so... So
and people that call you guys pumpkin bumpkins, screw them.
Well, screw them. I never heard it before, but I heard that. I'm with you.
Do you know why? Because they put the signs up, and then we all rush to your house. We take that sign down, and we
say,
we,
"You are home.
You are home, and stay home."
So, so she's been. It's interesting because now you can find out how politicians voted. Mm-hmm. Like you can go to sites, and they'll tell you how they voted on particular issues. And also tells you who's contributing to their campaigns. So it's interesting. So we have people like, we have this one guy in our, who's running for the township of Langley, predominantly rural, who's has $70,000 in donations coming from developers.
Mm.
Where's he? Where's he voting? What's he interested in happening? You know, and some of the people, one of them is even someone that we know fairly well, voted two times against two things that were very against happening in Langley. Nope, we're not going to vote for them, even though we know them. We disagree, obviously, radically disagree with what they think is good for Langley. So you're not good for us. So
yeah.
That's too bad. And that person, I think, gets $13,000 in campaign contributions for like Bentall Center, which is like a is a developing developer,
right?
And you know, more of a kind of like a landlord sort
now,
of
do businesses
building.
Like that when they make a donation, do mm-hmm. they get to write that off in any way?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's against. No big deal to them.
It's
so,
no big deal.
So something them. Like the Bentall Center, $13,000 to us is like, say,
that's
but,
a bit
but
of
to
money.
Them, it's meh.
Yeah.
You know, there whatever. You go. I'm going to write this off. Business expense. Is, maybe we'll get something. Maybe we won't. It's worth
looking at.
That
it wasn't
lottery,
all. It wasn't
that
all that.
Wheel.
His was about $3,000 from them. There was a variety of yeah. different contributors that contributed. How someone at $13,000? That was the second largest person like contributions from $13,000 to $70,000. That's a big jump.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what that guy's doing to get that kind of cash in his pocket. I don't even want to know. Don't elect him. But I wish I could say his name, but I feel like I'm getting in trouble. Yeah, so, you know, we're looking at what they're voting for. Like, right now, there's two. One is crazy. There's this kind of nutty university in Langley, Trinity Western University. Which
oh,
is,
why are they nutty? That sounds like a religious university.
It's a religious university.
Right.
And the problem is that, you know, you take if you take nursing courses there, you never see genitalia. It's cut out of the course. So
they
no,
cut out the genitalia?
Well, yeah, painfully. It's not shown in pictures. It's not shown in any of the... So your biology classes have no evolution in them.
Okay.
Your
No, the genital seems like that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're going to be a nurse, they started a law yeah. course, like, you know.
Do they just deal with Disney mascots? Like, it seems like...
Like, yes, they only work on baseball, basketball, and Disney mascots. That's,
so what happens when
that's
they
their major
when,
clientele?
Okay, I assume they don't teach gynecology there because that'd be a short course, right? Like what?
Yeah.
Like that makes no sense.
I know
why. Also, sorry,
it's a nursing school, not a medical school.
Understood.
So gynecology
but you're going to be you're, but you're in the room
yeah.
while that's going on.
Yeah.
Sorry, just a quick question because
you faint the first time. They're like, "What is that?"
Now you have studied the Bible.
I have studied the Bible.
All right. Is there anything in there saying don't look at genitals?
Don't look at Genesis? No, they're pretty all into looking at Genesis. No, I don't know what it's...
Yeah, there's nothing in there about that,
no,
right?
No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's just, you know, it's,
Adam and
it's
Eve,
all prescriptive.
Adam realize they're naked, but it's not yeah. just like, oh, well, we better not get our bits checked out then.
It's this prescriptive nonsense. So,
yeah.
you know, you have to sign a contract when you go to the school. You can't dance, drink, smoke, have sex before marriage. All these other things you agree to when you go there, you have to sign this contract with them.
Right.
And, you know, it's just really weird and old fashioned and very kind of odd. And
I bet they have a terrible musical theater program.
Yes, they do. Yeah, the girls can't go through their lesbian phase.
No.
It's a crime.
They got a play there called Am Misbehaving. Or Am Behaving. Damn it. Am Behaving. That's what it should be. Sorry. Continue.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah. I was so close.
So, the school is in financial trouble. It's actually quite a bit in debt, just because it's not working. It doesn't work anymore. It's a model that's gone out of fashion, unless you live in the southern United States.
Okay,
you know, and so what they want to do is they want to do this ginormous development of around the school. The school is right in the middle of this nice agricultural area.
Mm-hmm.
So now, in order to pump up this failing institution, they want to develop all around it. So take all this farmland out of ALR and develop this huge suburb there. No. So anyone who's voted for it,
yeah,
I say no. One of the counselors, own land and sold land as part of this deal.
That's great.
That's ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
So yeah, people who shouldn't get your vote.
No, there's only one way you should develop, and that's the old Vancouver style. And that's what it is. What you do? Go ahead.
You tell me
what you think I'm going to say.
No, you'd say it. I know what you're going to say.
Oh, no, I want to hear yours.
Okay. You burn it down.
Yeah.
And then you just build a new
thing.
That's
right. You have an accident.
You have an accident.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden a condo's going up. That's right. That's what you do. Oh, there's a fire. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. 30 minutes later, I got to call somebody.
They should do that at Trinity.
Oh, no. Boop. Boop. Oh, no. Boop.
Yeah.
Hey, 911, eventually get here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two Trinity students were having premarital sex, and the friction started a fire, burning down the school. I guess we better put in a housing complex here.
Right.
We better put in a 24-story skyscraper.
They were both just horrified by each other's genitals, which they'd
never saw before.
And they went, burn it. Burn it with fire. And they both tried to, like, just burn them off.
What am I looking at?
Oh, that's just... But I tell you, sorry, if I was a young man,
yes,
I would like to go out with ladies from that school.
Is that right? Why?
Because they are so repressed.
So horrified?
They are so repressed that's good stuff.
It makes me think of the scene.
That's good stuff. I went to Catholic school once upon a time. And let me just say,
once upon a time,
the more repression, oh boy, the better.
Ever seen the movie Pink Flamingos?
I believe I have.
You know, there's that scene where the guy is flashing people, but he has a lobster tail tied to his penis? So that's what you could do. You could just, when you pull your pants down, you just have a lobster tail tied to your penis. They don't know.
You know what's terrible?
They don't know what's real or what isn't real.
If you were someone walking by and you just happen to have a cup of melted butter with you, and you're like, ah, damn it, I guess I've got to, you know, and what are you going to do? Not?
Yeah, well, if you're holding it in your hand, of course it would be melted.
Mm-hmm.
Your hand, the heat of your hand would melt
Also, I'm picturing this a nice summer's day. You don't get those kind of flashers in the wintertime because it would be
it's ridiculous.
Too painful.
Well, no, it's too unflattering. Yeah.
Also true.
Yeah.
Also true.
You just say, you know, I just swimming. That's what I keep saying to everybody. I just go to the pool.
Now, I'm just going to go back a little bit where you were mentioning that you've got a naval base. Do you have a naval base in
Naval Gazers. It's a meditation center.
Okay.
That's in,
But that just reminds me of something where in Saskatchewan, they've got a museum.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they've got in there is a tribute to Saskatchewan's one naval disaster.
They had a naval disaster.
They had a naval.
In a lake there, I guess. Which,
that's right. Yeah. They were doing some training.
Okay.
And something went wrong and a number of people drowned in the military. It's very sad.
Yeah.
But they had a naval disaster in Saskatchewan, which if you're Canadian and know that this is... Couldn't be more prairie-ish.
It could be more landlocked than middle of the country.
And that's kind of a sad thing, too, when you're just like, hey, what happened to your uncle? Well, he was in the military, and he didn't make it. Oh, my gosh, what happened? He was in a naval disaster. Oh, no.
That's terrible.
What war was that? Well, it wasn't exactly in a war.
Yeah.
Oh, was it overseas? No, it was actually here at home. Well, here at home? Oh, my gosh, what shore was it on? Well, not exactly a shore. Well, where was it? Well, it was in Saskatchewan. And just like, well, try not to laugh.
It must be a pretty big lake. I mean, because there are big disaster, like big, obviously the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yep.
I think we all know that. You know, that happened in the Great Lakes because those lakes are so large that they're like being in the ocean.
Sorry.
Yes.
I'm just picturing in his youth and it's the erection of Edmund Fitzgerald. Just something you had to deal with in his gym class.
That's the thing.
And no one ever sings a song about that.
No one ever does.
Yeah. Having to wear those baggy pants and it's just annoying.
Yeah. He just had to go swimming a lot.
Yeah. Get Gordon Lightfoot.
Hence the song.
Yeah. Not if people are singing about naval disasters anymore. It used to be back in the day, you could really get a good hit out of that. But no such.
No such thing.
So, Dave, you say democracy just doesn't work, is what you're saying.
In Canada?
Sure.
No,
in ancient Greece.
In ancient Greece.
Well, they invented it.
Obviously. It was the second lowest form, to according to Plato. It was tantamount to disaster.
Yeah, I'm strategically voting for Parks Board because because the NPA here for Parks Board are pro the aquarium and everyone else is kind of on board with what people are saying, which is not true about the aquarium.
Yeah.
Like, we got to free the killer whales, which don't exist. So it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vision Vancouver, who's our party in charge, is like, if we can't free those animals, which you can't, they're unreleasable, we should euthanize them, which you shouldn't, because that's terrible. And there's no good reason for them to be there. Well, there's a couple of good reasons, and the research they're doing on them is really now helping a lot of whales in the Arctic, and there's many other things.
Yeah.
But that takes a longer time to explain,
and you
can't put it on your placard and wave it around, and there you go. But so many people at these protests holding the killer whale stuff, killer whales, and wanting to free the orcas, well, which, again, let me state, have not been around for many, many years.
Well, I was talking about this a little while ago, and I'll just mention it again, even though it'll be a bit boring for you, which is my biggest problem with politicians is when they're ideologues, not when they're, I don't care if they're conservative or liberal or left wing or whatever, but if you're making decisions based on your fantasy of what should be, that's the worst thing. You know, right now we have the so-called liberals in power. Basically, they're liberals in the sense that the Nazis were socialists. You know, they're just like this kind of liberal name, and then they're like far, far right, you know. And they're right.
Which, by the way, is the easiest way to be far right is to call yourself something.
Something that's in the
middle. Well, it was like progressive conservatives. Yeah. Just like, you know, you cannot call yourself a progressive in the States if you're a Republican. You can't. That's such a dirty word.
Yeah.
But, you know, you put words together, progressive conservative. I'm a lefty righty. I'm an uppy downy.
But progressive conservatives, to be fair, were a pretty central party. They were, it was liberal, slightly to the left, progressive conservatives slightly to the right, but not that much farther away.
Right.
It's not like they wanted to dismantle healthcare.
No one in Canada called them the progressive conservatives. PCs. They call them the PCs, or they call them conservatives for the most part.
Tories.
Or you could also call them Tories.
We call them Tories.
Or you can call them Jay, or you can call them Ray, or you can call them J. Joe, or you can call them... Anyway, anyone remember that bit? Remember that comedian did that bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was okay.
What? Don't remember that
Ray J. Johnson, I think that was his name.
Well, that's right. Man, that lasted a while.
You can call
it?
Me Ray, you can call me Jay, you can call me Johnny, but you don't have to call me Johnson. Anyway, please continue.
So, so like here we have the Liberal Party, and they make
It's not even much of a party.
They make decisions.
They don't have a party at all.
Yeah, they make decisions based on this kind of a fictitious idea of business being better than government. You know, if only we had more business than government, things would be better, because we all know how well business runs things. You know, the idea that people's own self-interest will make them better. And I know I worked on a fishing boat, and so I know for a fact that people do not act very well in their own self-interest when there's money involved. They will actively not work in their own best interest. They'll actively exploit something until it's dry as dust in order to squeeze the last bit of money out of it and fuck the future. That's how we are as people.
Yeah.
So the idea that business is better than governance is ridiculous. So the Liberal government, in order to create this facade of like good management, has balanced her budget by selling over $600 million of government, i.e. our property.
Mm-hmm.
So property that we have invested in as taxpayers over time is being sold out from under us by a party in order to maintain, to maintain this fiction of good governance, to maintain this fiction that business is better than government, you know. And then now they have this thing called P3, which is the private-public partnerships. So for instance, they built a new bridge. So the government doesn't want to use taxpayer money because they're spending so much of it on themselves. They can't afford to build a bridge. So they bring in a private company, and together they go in, they borrow money against future earnings from tolls and build the bridge. The problem is that if a government goes and borrows money as a AAA rated government here in BC, we could borrow money around 4%. But if you do it with a company who doesn't have that kind of great bond rating, the problem is that you pay higher. So for instance, with the bridge we just built, we're paying 17% on the loan.
Okay.
We are paying 17. We as taxpayers are paying 17% on the loan, approximately $200 million more than needs to be spent on something in order to maintain this facade of the public-private
partnership.
Luckily,
here's the thing. When you bring up math, people hear this.
Is that what people are hearing right now while I'm talking?
I'm
sorry, everybody.
Once you like, listen, it's an 18% return rate, and that's bi-monthly dividends over.
I don't think it was quite that complicated. Was it that complicated?
There was a thing recently where I had a friend who was trying to solve a fraction that her daughter had in her math class, and she went onto Facebook and put the fraction up there, and it was the most basic fraction you've ever seen. It's just I just hate math. I can't stand all this.
Yeah.
And it was the most basic fraction.
Yeah.
So, and this is a very intelligent person. This is so I think whenever math gets brought up, people just, I don't know, throw up my hands. I can't do my taxes.
Well,
it's crazy. I don't know nothing. What? But you know, you tell me what to think.
But let's just come down to the fact of it, though, is that in order to maintain this idea that the P3, the idea of business, is better than governance, you know, they're spending way more than they need to of our money.
Right. You need to then compare, explain that to them in some sort of metaphor. You really do. You need a you need a Schoolhouse Rock cartoon.
What I want you to picture is there's a spider
yeah.
that can spell words in a web.
Right.
And it's fucking a little mouse dressed in clothes up the ass.
Okay.
$200 million worth.
And then afterwards, it just sprays some pig some all pig. Over the barn.
And so, yeah, that's what I... No, it's just, it's crazy.
No, it is crazy, but it's so hard to explain to people.
Yeah.
You know, when you explain it, it's like, listen, they're selling your stuff without your permission. You shouldn't let them sell your stuff.
Yeah.
That's... And why are they selling your stuff? To con you into thinking that they're doing a good job.
Exactly.
They're selling, you know, it's like someone who is like selling stuff of yours and then giving you the money they owe you back. And like, here's that money I owe you. Yeah. Oh, good. That guy's a reliable sort. Hey, where's my oven? You know, it's just like, oh, I don't know. You had to sell that. Oh, okay. Well, at least it's the kind of guy that'll pay you back when he borrows money, huh? You know, it's like, well, yeah. And then you got to buy a new oven.
You're right. I mean, for everyone's mockery of the Socreds, I mean, in a way, they created this fantastic legacy in the province by spending our money to build hydroelectric dams, which created this vast resource of electricity that not only do we use still, but also sell, you know, for good money to other places, you know, and that's all belongs to us, you know, that belongs to people at BC. Right. Now, what the government wants to do now is sell off those places.
Of course they do.
Because the government shouldn't own those things. No, those should be in the hands of business.
Yeah, government can't.
But then you're saying to yourself, wait a second, but we paid for those.
Well, personally, that's the American thing. I was in the womb, but listen, the government can't do nothing. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we're completely incompetent. Oh boy.
Yeah.
And you should listen to us when we tell you this. Wait a second. You've just told me you're too stupid to run things. I sure am. You shouldn't put me in charge. Well, and let me tell you my plan. No, wait. You just told me that you're no good. Mm-hmm. And that's why you've got to do that. Wait, stop. Maybe you don't know how government works.
I have a friend who works for fisheries, though, and he was telling me that it was decided by the government, by the fisheries, Ministry of Fisheries, that they were going to have every expert on these various things to do with fisheries in Canada all move to Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd all be in one place.
Oh, be careful. There's so a lot of naval disasters there.
All these people were
drowning.
Yeah. All these people were informed that they had to move.
Uh-huh.
And so this was like a 2-year thing. So people are like, you know, putting their houses on the market. They're getting their kids out of school, stuff like that. And then after 2 years, no, we're not going to do it. Because the government realized how much money it would cost to relocate and buy new houses and do all this stuff for these people. And so all this uproar and consternation came to nothing. You know, it's just, you know, so you can't, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of examples of government incompetence. What I'm saying, though, is that things that are owned by people.
Uh-huh.
Via the government should not be sold out from under the people by the government.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you can explain that very simply.
Here's who. Prefer to use a lot of numbers and confuse.
They're selling
everyone.
Your stuff. How about that?
They're selling your stuff.
Yeah, without your permission, and they're using it to fool you.
But then the government's going to say, listen, you know, we're not hoarders. We have a bunch of stuff with cats underneath it.
Yeah.
We don't need all that stuff, people.
Right, but it's my
stuff. We want to clear out this mobile home that we live in out of all the piles of newspaper.
Right.
Because we've got a lot of stuff we can get rid of here.
Then we get to choose what that stuff is.
We're just bringing the bottles for recycling.
Yeah. No one has anyone come into their house and go like, I'm going to throw away your stuff. Like, I understand that the Hoarder TV show does that. But even in the Hoarder TV show, they let you pick some of the stuff to keep. Like, they don't throw away your mom's ashes. Like, first, fuck this. You know,
they smash it in front of you to the ground.
Wow, do they?
Yeah.
That's rough.
And they're like, look at the false teeth in there. Stomp.
They throw out all the mice and you go, that's my children.
Well,
explain this. I have no explanation. They're just my children.
Why are they wearing little clothes and driving
a car? Because they're my children.
Do you remember the Beverly Cleary book, The Mouse and the Motorcycle?
Yes.
That was a weird book, too. Like a mouse that could drive a motorcycle by making a motorcycle sound?
Well, I don't think that...
No one questioned that.
Well, I don't think...
No one said, this book is insane.
I don't think that farmer should be attacking Peter Rabbit if he's wearing a jacket. I think if a rabbit's got a jacket and is talking... No, you cannot.
I don't think he talks, but yeah.
Okay, well, he can't. Oh, he's wearing a jacket.
He's wearing a jacket.
You can't come after him.
You don't know where he got
shovel.
The jacket from. I mean,
he put it on.
Some neighboring
His
farm
family
girl.
Wears clothes.
Some neighboring farm girl put it on him. You don't know. I'm going to defend Mr. McGregor to the end.
Really?
Mr. McGregor.
Fine. That's fine. Here's as a comedian, let me say who I object to right now.
As a comedian,
okay. In all seriousness, to quote Eugene Levy, we used to have, and we still, to a degree, have Air Farce. And we also have This Hour is 22 Minutes. And we've got the Mercer Report, to a lesser extent right now.
Is that right? He's winding it down, is
Well, no. It's just he doesn't do as much politics stuff.
Oh, okay.
He does like one rant and maybe a little stuff off the top, but it's mostly silliness.
Yeah.
And then like, I'm going to go work at a cattle ranch today. Mm-hmm. Woohoo! It's that kind of stuff. And he's fine. It's fun.
Sure.
But we have no...
People go, Anoofy in Alberta?
But we don't have, you know, the John Olivers, you know, really breaking it down for you in a comedic way, in a way that we can understand, you know, and that we have three goddamn shows to do that, and none of them do that.
Yeah,
pisses me off.
Well, didn't,
pisses me off, like, because it's all
Mary Walsh kind of used to do that. Is she not on the show anymore?
Or I don't know if she's on the show anymore. But what she would do, and it kind of bugs me, is she would go up to a politician and she would just do the roughshod over him and just be blah, 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 and like would not let him talk.
Playing a character.
Well, yeah, but you can play. Listen, 22 Minutes came out before The Daily Show. But once The Daily Show came out, you know, and I mean the Jon Stewart version of The Daily Show. There was another version of The Daily Show that was out before that was just mean to regular people.
Yeah.
But then when Jon Stewart came on, they went after kind of the big shots and started punching up. So everyone on there who's a news correspondent is also doing a character, but they let the other person talk and hang themselves.
Sure.
They set the other person off, and through editing, admittedly, they make them look bad. But Mary Walsh won't let the other person talk, and that's just cheap bullshit to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like they're being polite, letting her go, and so they look nice. Mm-hmm. They look nice because they're like letting this lady talk. You know, and it doesn't work. Let them speak. Let their own words and what they are hang themselves. And then there's always too much of them kind of getting into bed with the politicians and doing sketches with them anyway.
That speaks more. Well, it kind of speaks to Canada in a way. It's a bit chummier than the United States. It also speaks to, you know, the writing staff on This Hour Has 22 Minutes more than, you know, the John Oliver show has a fantastic group of people writing for that show, obviously,
because it's their first season. They're trying to prove some shit.
The amount of information he can give
it's amazing.
I mean, that's
when you go, it's a half hour.
It's not
holy
and it's not
shit.
Him. It's not him. I mean, he's the host, and I mean, he obviously oversees it. But he has a really good
thing with Stephen Colbert. It's a whole
crew of people that are doing that. It's like when people were, and we haven't really talked about this very much, but when people were initially upset about John Gomeshi and the accusations against him, and they're like, but they couldn't connect this person they're hearing about in the news to the person they liked on the radio.
Right.
And it's like they didn't realize that the person on the radio was reading other people's words to them.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's what radio is. It's just reading. He's not speaking off the top of his head ever.
Yeah, you were, well, you know, he is free.
No, ever.
Okay. Yeah, he is when he's interviewing people. 'Cause he's got to do a little free form.
But
there.
Even that is carefully... The questions are all written out and all the research
generally,
is done for
generally, he's trying
him.
To lead things back. When you see it in something like the Billy Bob Thornton interview where he asked something he shouldn't. Billy Bob got mad and then he's got a vamp and he can't vamp at all. And it goes, ooh, it goes off the rails. It's an uncomfortable interview. That's a little fun to watch now.
There was a show I used to love on CBC. It actually came on before The Frantics. So I used to listen to it called Basic Black.
Yes.
And on this show, it was kind of a... Wouldn't say current affairs.
Arthur Black,
Arthur Black, yeah. And it was kind of like a kind
don't
of
think it's Conrad Black. We're not.
No, we're
nothing
not.
To do.
No, nothing to do with Conrad. It was kind of a kooky news show, right? Mm-hmm. And it kind of had like, you know, there's one guy who came on and he always talked about like criminals, and there's another guy who came on and he had kind of kooky novelty commercials and stuff like that. And then, you know, everyone had their kind of expertise and they would come on the show. And I really enjoyed it. And so one day he was playing live here in Vancouver. So I was like, I'm going to go see it. So Lisa and I went and it was old people there. Oh my gosh. But anyway, I felt so young for a change. And so I was, you know, I was watching the show and I was shocked because the show is so well produced.
Yeah.
And the back and forth between the people, the banter is so fun and everything like that. And then I was there and I discovered it's all written out. Every word they said to each other.
Yeah.
Everything that felt like a quick little bon home, you know, little bon mot and these little back and forths were all scripted. Every last bit of it was scripted, which is weird, but good in a way too, because
it's good acting if they can make it seem
it's
that
good
natural.
Acting and it seems unnatural, and also that you can make a show that polished, you know, rather than just leaving it a chance, you make sure that everything on the show is going to work every week. That's a lot of work to put into something.
Yeah, it is,
you know. And so it was the same with the show that John Gomeshi did. You know, that show had like eight people working on it, eight different producers working on the show. There was two different people who wrote his essay every show, you know. And so that was their job to give him that sound, to give him that kind of smart sound that we all, you know, or I didn't really listen to it very much, but that his fans enjoyed, and that people reacted so viscerally when it first happened. There's this real sense of, you know, everyone wanted to lunge at these people making these accusations and kind of holding themselves back because it felt uncomfortable. And then as the more and more news came out, everyone kind of had to retract their claws.
They turned, we were talking a little bit about that off mic maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And what I, What I was pleased with.
Can we explain what's happening? Because people maybe don't know.
Sure, like, okay. There is a broadcaster, GM Gameshi, who used to be in a band called Moxie Fruvis, which is kind of a comedy band. Yeah. And then from there, he became a broadcaster, and he's kind of like Canada's biggest radio guy. He's a handsome man who was like would interview all the big celebrities, and there was also a TV version of this. So there were some accusations. All right, so what happened was CBC fired him. And we
out of the blue.
Yeah, it seemed out of the blue, and there was outrage, and there was, bring him back. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And then a little bit, this all happened in about a day and a half.
But he came out before the firing. He wrote his piece right. before the firing.
Well, I think the news broke that he was being let go, and then like immediately he had hired a publicity firm and came out and said, the reason for this is I enjoy some sexual things, you know, the S&M scene that they find, you know, don't go well, and I got fired because of that. Yeah. So people went, well, how dare you? In Canada, you can do what you want in the bedroom. And he made a big deal of this is consensual, it's all consensual.
Yeah. The government has no place in the bedrooms of the nation, unless it's on This Hour Is 22 Minutes.
There you are.
Yeah.
Now, here's where it's weird for me and some other people that sort of work in the media, is we have known for a long time, creepy guy, get away from this fuck. That's basically what you know. But you don't know, you know.
You don't know what it is.
You can't prove. Yeah, yeah. And because he's so beloved, what are you going to do? But if someone goes, yeah, I'm thinking of going, oh, I would not do that. But now, I used to work in Halifax, and here's the thing. You would be told, avoid this guy, but you wouldn't be told specifically who he did things to, because it's like respecting their privacy. But there was the...
he was known as a creep.
Yeah, and in Toronto as well, creep. Okay. You know, just under the creep umbrella. So when this came out, you know, you didn't want to go online and go like, I heard he's a creep, because that's... You don't want to throw that out there unless you know for sure. And also,
you get trampled to death by... internet outrage, which is a terrible thing to get trampled
by. But then
by.
One woman came out and told the story of how his method of picking up women was testing their boundaries by doing things like pulling their hair or slapping them and seeing if they were into it. And then, like, he'd be on a date with them and he'd, like, pull their hair hard. And then if they're into it, there we go. And if they're not, boo. Now, I can give you... No. That's not what he does, because that's not the game he's playing.
Okay.
And there was someone who, you know, said when she went to his, you know, apartment, he punched her, like, without notice, just, like, struck her.
Yeah.
This is all shocking, and this was...
It's terrible.
And then one of the people that came out was one of the stars of a series here called The Trailer Park Boys.
Very popular.
Now, that was the one from the Maritimes. That was probably the person who was the person no one wanted to mention, but it was well known.
Okay.
So watch this guy.
Yeah.
So once one person came out, another person came out, another person came out, and this all happened very quickly. And the people who were, hey man, it's his choice and his this, and within about a day and a half, were like, oh, whoa, this fish is starting to smell. Turn, take down the petition.
Yeah.
But you were saying to me, you thought like people on the left were having a hard time doing this, but I think they turned so fast.
Yeah, that you didn't notice?
Well, yeah, because it was like, it was a day and a half where he was, oh, that poor guy, no, to the point now where I think you would be hard-pressed to find someone going, he's getting the runaround now.
I feel like there was less internet outrage than you'd normally see in these sort of affairs still, though.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I feel like it is people, and maybe it just may be the subject matter and the fact that there's women involved in it.
Yeah.
That no one wants to like drag it all around and drag them through it
in
again.
In Canada, at least, he was like the number one trending topic on Twitter. Yeah, yeah. He was one of the top trending topics on Facebook.
Gameshigate.
Yeah, it was all out there and ugh.
Yeah, you know? No, it's terrible. And
also, he turns out, besides this, he's also a bit of an asshole. Like, just
in
general.
I think that I was going to say that. I mean,
a terrible boss.
Yeah, a terrible boss. And what's interesting is the show started, he was a part of a collective of people working on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, he took control of the show and changed it from just being Q to being Q with John Gameshi. He made it so that when he was off in the summertime, they couldn't call it Q. It had to be called Q in the summer or something like that. And they couldn't use the music for the shows when he was on it.
Yeah. CBC couldn't use the letter Q in any sentences.
Any kind of sentences, that's right.
Yeah, you had to put a K.
Well, that's why it used to be called Del Quasi Street, but they had to change that. And then they couldn't have an essay at the beginning of the show. The host replacement host couldn't read an essay at the beginning of the show.
Right.
Because those were all things that he wanted to be, you know, his things.
And that shows confidence and being a good person.
That's right. And so, yeah, apparently all the original people that started on the show are all gone now. Mm-hmm. Even the people who were on the show originally, they work elsewhere. They live somewhere else and they just contribute remotely to the show. Because, yeah, he's just so difficult to deal with. But yeah. That speaks to CBC more than to him.
How so?
Well, I mean, obviously to him, he's a jerk, and that's just but a jerk. But the fact that, you know, someone's willing to, because of someone's popularity, they're willing to allow this asshole to be an asshole to
in radio and television,
yeah, exactly.
Dave? What you're saying, someone will let someone be an asshole?
I know,
if
it's
they're
terrible.
Really, if they're popular?
I know.
In showbiz?
It doesn't
well,
seem fair.
I don't know about that. Let's hope this isn't oh, new.
I do keep you on the show, that's true.
What?
But yeah.
I'll say there's a couple of good things to read if you're interested in reading the kind of thing. And these are weird ones to read. But are you familiar with Ed the Sock?
Yes, I am.
Okay, he wrote a good essay about
this. He used to have a show with a lot of breasts on it.
Yes.
Yes.
Though all the people on the show were treated quite well, apparently. This is a thing that they get into, and this sounds
okay.
Like, this is a sexist show. Really? Talk to anyone who worked on the show? Blah, 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 blah. All right, fine.
Okay, it was a sexist show in the same way like the men show with
that's
with,
right.
was a sexist show, and it was a show designed.
It was a show about objectification, but then they feel that there was empowerment because the women also got to tell jokes. I don't know.
It had many layers. Yeah. It had many layers. It was an onion.
Yes.
The show was an onion.
But it wasn't as funny as The Onion.
It wasn't
anyway,
as funny as The Onion.
He wrote a good essay about the Gamechi situation.
Okay.
And he also did a good podcast where he's talking about the dangers of sleeping with fans.
Okay.
And like that there's a power dynamic there.
What? Is there something wrong with that?
Yes, there is. You got to be very careful because there's a power dynamic there where they – and especially if you then add it into an S&M – okay, here's the thing. An S&M relationship, the power dynamic where you've got the Dom and the sub actually has all the power. But if the Dom is a famous person, they've got too much power, can't yield that amount of power, and so everything gets fucked up.
Okay.
So there's just generally that.
Yeah.
But just in a straight out sleeping with a fan, you're never going to have it be on equal footing.
No.
You can have a groupie situation where they know what they're wanting, we're enjoying, here we go, it's a one-time thing, blah, blah, blah. But a longer-term relationship, that's always going to be skewed, and that's a mess. So, you know, be really careful when you're doing that kind of nonsense.
Well, I'm just lucky that my wife hates everything I do.
Excellent. That she's not a fan of
yours. She's not a fan at all.
But the other article that was really good was done by Dan Savage.
Okay.
From Savage Love.
Yes.
When this first came out, he was saying that he despised...
I almost thought his name was Savage Dan. I don't know why.
Really?
I don't know.
I think that's a British character,
I think
isn't
you're
it?
Right, yeah.
Anyway, he used to fry eggs on his chest
that's
on a hot day.
Baked beans as well.
Mmm. Yeah.
Why not?
Now I'm getting hungry. which I shouldn't in
Nothing
this
like
discussion.
Sweaty beans and eggs.
I don't know. He probably had a delicious mapley coating,
sure,
that guy,
sure.
You know? But when it first came out, he was saying that he hated people that judged others for their, you know, sexual
proclivities.
But he also hated abusers that hid behind sexual proclivities.
Okay.
As well. So
he has his cake and eats it.
So he talked to two women. One woman who was one of the women who was going, he hit me and did all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And another woman went, I went out with a guy and he was great. We had all these boundaries set up. Things were fine. He asked me what I wanted. I said I wanted this. I was into it. We did this. He went this far. I said no. He went all right. But the difference being, the woman who was the one who went, hurt me, was someone that he met, and he was just like, he would be in a car with her, and he would do the pulling the hair.
Okay.
And that was his test of like, huh? You like that?
Yeah.
Well, no, you don't. Okay. Well, I'm just joking. I just joke. How about that? No. Oh, it's like that. But the other woman was a fan who wrote him, so they did email.
Okay.
And that was where they set up the boundaries ahead of time, and so Dan went, yeah, this completely lines up. This is someone who, if you're got a distance relationship, can set up all this stuff, but he does not have the personal boundaries, in real life, which you need to have. And yes, of course, you need to ask someone before you do something like that.
Also, he was in a terrible, terrible band.
Which we have mentioned.
It's just awful.
I know, and is apparently in a previous relationship, his baby liked a bunch of authors.
Yeah. Terrible song.
Also, he was King of Spain.
I can't even tell you how much I hate all those songs so much.
Right.
That was like the worst part of the
90s. The one thing that they do is they do make the Bare Naked Ladies look very good in comparison.
Yes, that's true. So by comparison, come out shining.
Yeah, they look very, 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 very,
very
good.
Very talented.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting discussion on a whole bunch of... And there's been some people have just gone on and go, I don't get S&M. It's like, well, that I don't care if you don't get S&M. That's nothing to do with
I don't get SNL.
That's right. Yeah, I like the S&M's like 70s stuff.
Yeah,
you know, the new season's
that.
Not... Yeah, I don't get
weird.
It. Well, it all seems meta.
It got a bit worse in the 80s with the cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger.
And that was a slap?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair.
Enough.
Enough. Listen, we are getting towards the end.
We are getting towards the end. I just want to say one last thing before we go.
Sure. And I want to throw out one plug, too, for something we got coming up in the future as
okay,
well.
Okay.
But you do your thing
sure.
first.
Sure. My thing is, I was watching a show last night. This has happened a couple of times in the last little while.
Okay.
And I don't know what the fuck is wrong with America. But I just want to say...
Okay, you're sitting on your couch. It's covered in pumpkin seeds. Let's set the stage.
Right. It's not pronounced en route, everybody. When you're on your way to do something, you're en route. En route. It comes from the French.
Right. Guys, so please don't use the en word.
And a route is a terrible defeat. A terrible, terrible defeat. It has no other meaning than defeat. A route. A football team is in a route. It's not in a route unless they're on a bus.
Yeah.
And you are not on a route or on a route unless you are in the midst of committing a route, I guess.
Right.
If that's a word, that you commit a route.
You're sounding very Canadian right now.
Do you commit
you're
a boat?
You're on the route.
You're on a route.
In a house with about, a moose. And then you go a route. A route.
Yeah. It's en route. Okay. It's so weird. And I was watching Person of Interest last night, which is a show I like.
Right. You're interested in that show.
And a voice said, on the radio, said, they are en route. And I was like, this is the second time I've heard this. What the hell's wrong with these people? But then another character in the show said, I am en route. And I thought, he said it right? Why can't the rest of them say it right? What the hell's wrong? It's en route. You were on a route. Route 66.
Yeah.
It's not Bobby Troup's song. It's not called Route 66. They didn't go and route 66 different people or 66 different football teams.
Are you thinking that song Route 66?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm thinking of Route 66.
No, I think it's Route 66.
That's where you get your kicks.
Uh-huh.
On Route 66.
Route 66. Yeah. It makes sense. See, that flows.
Sure does.
Yep.
Like a river.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want to plug?
I want to plug, we have a jam show that we're just kind of confirmed right now, and that's coming out in January.
A jammed show? Like a pack?
A jam show where we're going to taste different jams.
Sounds fun.
We're going to a farmer's market.
Nice.
And I'm hoping for the boysenberry.
Mm.
And Dave will be...
Strawberry rhubarb.
Yep, strawberry... No. Here's what's going to go on. We have a lot of podcasts here in town. If you're one of those people that comes to visit Vancouver just to see the podcast and tour, like people do the vineyards yes. of California, but you tour the local podcast...
Sure.
You're like, oh, do I have to go to all these different... No, here's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You're going to come on January 4th. We're going to put 3 podcasts in the same location.
Wow.
Oh, that sounds like it's going to take forever. Shut up. Shut your damn mouth. It's not going to take forever.
Sorry.
Shut up. Shut up, you... I'm not talking to you, Dave. I'm talking to our listeners.
Sorry.
Shut up.
Oh, that's fine to talk to them like that.
Right. It's going to be...
You established the boundaries, right?
Yeah.
You pulled their hair so they know this is okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Get a little tug. So we're going to have 3 podcasts, 3 mm-hmm. local podcasts. Not going to tell you who they are.
Yeah.
One of them's us. And we're all going to do 20 minutes on the same topic.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing that at the back of Slickety Jim's, the same place you can go on the 15th to see David M. But this will be happening.
And me, uncomfortably
and
on stage.
And Dave. He's going to be kind of a Mitzi Gaynor. 37 costume changes, each more glamorous than the last.
That's right.
But January 4th, we're going to be doing that. Come down, have a snack, and watch 3 local Vancouver podcasts. Should be fun.
Sounds great.
Yeah. And what's it's called Pod Mash.
It's called Pod Mash. And we are... So what's the idea? So there's going to be 3 different podcasts.
Right. We're all going to have the same topic.
We'll all have the same topic.
And once we'll do a thing.
Yeah.
Then we'll just step back to you know, the other podcast. We'll slip into that space.
Okay.
We'll do their thing, slip back, and then we will release it as one podcast. So you will be doing kind of a Whitman sampler of like other podcasts. Like, oh, I like this podcast. Maybe I'd like this podcast. Maybe I like this one.
Okay.
So it's just a way of exposing you maybe to some other stuff that you haven't heard.
And exposing ourselves too.
Yeah.
Because we're going to come out of this really bad.
That's right. But we have to, again, we were asking your permission before we expose ourselves because we, that's the way we play things.
In this case, we tugged our own hair.
Right.
Yeah.
What is the safe word for this show, Dave?
Carrots.
Okay, it's carrots.
I thought it was pumpkin
And my
seeds,
safe word is Stuart Little.
Stuart Little. It was because you were swimming.
Sure.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good reason.
We all kind of get that, right, everybody? This has been a weird one, huh? Okay. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. We're both sort of tired, right?
Yeah, I watched all of Invasion of the Body Snatchers last night from 1981. It was
All the Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
All six episodes in one sitting, yes.
What do you mean in six episodes? Oh, they mean six films?
There were six episodes of Invasion of the... There was a series done for BBC in 1981.
I'm sorry. I thought you watched the three
versions. Recommended to
the
me
three
by...
three versions of Invasions and then the sequels.
It was recommended by our guest, Gavin. Gavin Pitts recommended it to me. So
Was he right to recommend it to you?
It was pretty good. It was quite good. It was probably the best version of Invasion. If you can't be bothered to read the book, it's a good version.
Okay. I'm watching the politician's husband right now.
Okay.
With David Tennant.
Okay.
And Emily Watson, and that is on the Netflix right now. It's kind of interesting.
Okay.
He's the politician in England, gets kicked out, or quits and thinks something good's going to happen. Oh, it does not.
Yeah.
He's like, my wife should run instead. I'll be able to operate from behind the scenes. Oh, but she's got a mind of her own, and we'll see what happens. And he does a lot of big, hammy David Tennant face acting and like, stuff. And if you like that kind of thing,
okay,
it's on your Netflix, so go check that out.
I'll take a look at it.
Okay. Hey, folks, you like listening to the show? Why not wear the show as well? Sneaky Dragon website, we've got t-shirts for you.
We do have t-shirts.
If you see a title card that Dave does that you're like, hey, maybe I'd like to make that, get that as a shirt, that might be a possibility. If it's not a possibility as a shirt, probably a possibility as some sort of mug. Wait, you're saying we don't have mugs? We will eventually have mugs. We're going to have mugs. We're probably going to have bags.
Look into that.
There's other things we can
have. Actually, I had a question from a listener, and they said, why aren't the shirts available in black and white? Like, why aren't all the shirts available in black? And just a quick answer is that we get them printed locally. We don't farm them out to Thailand. Mm-hmm. And so we pay Vancouver prices for our shirts. So if you've ever looked at the real estate market in Vancouver, you know what the shirt market is like.
Right.
And some shirts are, for instance, I'm going to look behind the curtain. We're going to see the man behind the curtain.
Are you going on one of your famous Dave rants?
Yeah. Dave rants.
And here we go.
No, it's not a rant.
Is this one of your rants about pants?
This is not a rant.
Oh, it's about shirts.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
It's about pangst, actually. For instance, the Clockwork Dragon shirt. Now, if I wanted to print that as a black shirt.
Sounds
and
good.
And sell it to you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Would you want to pay $35 for that and me make no money? Because that's what it costs me to get that shirt.
Wow, that's rough.
So in order for me to sell it and maybe make a little profit, I would sell it like maybe $38, $40. Not much more than that because I would
still
feel guilty.
Too much for a damn shirt.
It's a lot for a shirt. So that's why it's not available in black.
But
that's
a simpler shirt than black you could
get. Yeah. Some shirts, I'm like, it has to be in black like the E.T. parody Sneaky Dragon or SD, the Sneaky
Dragon. Or
something
like our Completely Beatles. You can get that in white. You can get that in black. Yeah. That's a one-color thing.
The white one we make money on, the black one we don't. Just so you know.
Yeah.
And same with the E.T. one. We don't make any money on it. It's there for you.
At cost, basically.
It's there for you to enjoy. If you want it, buy it. Just know that the money we're making is on the postage if there's anything left over. So, and by the way, everyone except for one of our listeners who said he was going to order a shirt, but maybe now that it's not available in black, you're not going to, let me know. Everyone's stuff left on Monday. I mailed everyone's packages that I had addresses for. Lane, still waiting for yours. Joe, still waiting for your address. So please send me your address.
Has Louise sent you her address?
I figure we'll see Louise at a poker game so we can give her stuff there.
Okay, because she has a gambling problem.
Because she has a gambling problem.
And we'll probably just see her at any poker game in town.
That's right, any poker game in town or even at the slots. So if we see you there, we'll give you your stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, so everyone's has gone out. So let me know that you got it. Please just email me just so I know. I worry otherwise. I spend all my time fretting.
Right.
And
thanks again to Gavin Pitts for coming by and getting home safely.
That was great.
Yeah.
They had a little get together at Joe Fulgham's from Caustic Soda. They had a little get together at his place on Sunday. And Lisa and I went just to say so long to Gavin.
Oh, nice.
And I gave him a hearty Canadian farewell. I kicked him in the pants.
Right. Yeah. Threw some pumpkin seeds in his pocket and sent him on his way.
That's right. So put those in your dishwasher when you get home.
It's good luck.
It's good luck. It's good for it, apparently.
Okay.
It makes you clean it all.
Dave and I have to go now, and we're going to taste some Vegemite, and we'll let you know what that's like. We probably will not be doing that. But let me, again, Tim Tams. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're like a chocolate-covered Oreo.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, well done, Tim Tams. Good job there. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully this all made a bit of sense.
No.
And we'd love to hear from you. So sneakydragon.com is the website. You can post on our message board there or on our Facebook page, obviously. And what is our email address, Dave, again?
SneakyD@sneakydragon.com.
One day I will know what that is and sneaky_dragon.
If you go to the website
Twitter.
And click on the there's a little envelope icon, yep. If you click on that, it will open up the email for you.
And it will send you a free envelope in the mail.
It will send you a free envelope via internet.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a webvelope.
That's sort of what they call that?
Yep.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Dedrick.
And please send us your safe word. So just so we'll know.
What if it was tomato, but you said tomato?
Well, let's just call the whole thing off.
Envelope.
Oh, she should have ended it.